All right, moving back to Old Faithful here, see if he'll work tonight. Ephesians chapter number 5, the title of the message here tonight, and if everything works right, Brother Luke is going to put it on the wall up there. It says, Spirit-filled and happy. Amen. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 14, says, Wherefore he saith, Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Amen. You can be seated again this evening. Verse 17, it says, Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Praise God. Now, he makes that statement in a reference to previous verses, also in a reference to the following verses. Understanding what the will of the Lord is. Now, if you will tonight, in a nutshell, so to speak, Spirit-filled and happy is the will of the Lord, and it's what he wants established in our lives. You will see, I hope, by the time that I'm done, how that the two correlate together to bring about a miraculous Christian life. This is where we need to strive to be. Not just a mundane Christian life, not just a humdrum Christian life, not just a ordinary quote-unquote Christian life that the world thinks it ought to be, but the miraculous Christian life that Jesus Christ died for. Hallelujah. Praise God. He didn't die for having knowledge, but denying the power thereof. He died that you and I could be filled with his power. Be spirit-filled and happy. Amen. We find from this portion of Scripture here tonight that the will of the Lord is not to be drunk with wine wherein is excess. You ever wondered why Paul put that in there? Why did he put that right there when he's talking about the will of the Lord and talking about the days are evil and talking about walk circumspectly, not as fools? And then right there in verse 18 he says, And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Have you ever realized how sometimes people, when they're overwhelmed and they're stressed, they just want to run away? A lot of people run to alcohol. That is not the only thing people run to. But in the days of Paul and those Bible times, they didn't have narcotics then. They didn't have meth then. They had alcohol. And so I believe that he's putting this there because he's trying to get these believers to understand you have help. You have power that is available. You have joy that the world can't have. And if you allow your circumstances of life to drive you to the wine, to the alcohol, then you are not really fulfilling the miraculous Christian life. You are still under the bondage. And if I can put it like this, if you can follow me, you're under the bondage of humdrum Christianity. You're under the bondage of carnal Christianity. We understand that terminology because it's in the Scriptures. And Paul is the writer of that terminology as he begins to deal with the church who is not being spiritual. Who is not being Spirit-filled and happy. Do you realize that the Bible declares to you and I that a merry heart worketh like a medicine? How many realize that doctors in the natural realm have come to the conclusion and are always trying to help people that stress can begin to cause multiple physical problems in an individual? But the Bible says a merry heart worketh like a medicine. Okay. So we've got something here that God's wanting to do that's miraculous. Whew. We've got to get back to the miraculous. And this is something, when we begin to get back to the miraculous Christian life, then we will begin to also see the miracles and the gifts of the Spirit's moving, because they're not going to happen until the believers become miraculous Christians following the Spirit of God, Spirit-filled and happy. Hallelujah. Notice he said, but be filled with the Spirit. This is more of a teaching mode here tonight because I'm wanting us to really get a hold of this. He didn't say be moved on by the Spirit. Do you realize that you don't even have to be saved to be moved on by the Spirit? You don't have to be saved for the Spirit of God to begin to reveal God to you. But the born-again believer is supposed to have an infilling of the Spirit. Dwelling on the inside, he abides night and day. Spirit-filled, that's where the joy comes from. That's where the happiness comes from. Hallelujah. Is when God is on the inside working on the outside. Now, when I say working on the outside, what I am meaning and trying to get across is the outflow. The Spirit of God. Working on the inside to where my life becomes a miraculous Christian life. And thus it begins to change me on the outside, or how I am perceived by people. Letting your light shine. How many's heard terminology? What is that? Spirit-filled and happy. Hallelujah. You're going to have a very difficult time letting your light shine. Like this. Hello. Tell me what kind of light is that? Are you getting the picture? Because I'm taking us somewhere, church, tonight, and I'm taking us to a place where we really live. Where I live, where you live. I'm taking us into the spiritual warfare of the kingdom of God and bringing forth the reality of what God wants to give us to be the victors in this spiritual warfare. Are you winning your battles? Are you winning the fight of faith? Are you winning, acknowledging Him in all your ways so He can direct your paths? Are you winning in these areas? In these arenas of battle? I'm fixing to move into some arenas of battle from God's Word here tonight. Amen. Paul is telling us when we're filled with the Spirit, we're going to be speaking to yourselves. That means me personally to myself and me personally and you to me. Hallelujah. It's going to be very noticeable. It will be. Woo! How many's ever watched your children on Christmas Day, or when you celebrate Christmas, and you give them that package, And then they open that box, and right there in front of their face is the very thing they wanted. Do they just sit there and go, "This is just wonderful"? Is that what they do? No. Wow! I mean, they're going, "Hey, I got it. Oh, thank you, Mama. Thank you, Dad." I mean, they are happy because they received. When was the last time you received something from God that you want to jump and run? Hallelujah. Because we have a thing called the gift of the Holy Ghost. Woo, and excuse me, it's not a thing. It's Him. Hallelujah. Praise God. And so we say that, He said, don't be drunk with wine, because that's not going to get you anywhere getting the need met. But be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms. I mean, you realize the Bible's full of psalms. Hallelujah. Speaking to yourselves in psalms. How many realize that most of the psalms are worship and praise and thanksgiving? Hallelujah. Praise our God. And hymns. Wow, that's in the Bible. Did you know that was in the Bible? I mean, it's got a songbook at home. Of course, you know, we do. A lot of other people have songbooks at home. Why? Well, because they sing them. Amen. Praise God. Why? Well, because that's part of being filled with the Spirit, and that's part of being joyful, and that's part of being happy. Oh, praise our God. Hallelujah. And speaking, now here we're speaking. Now this is just speaking, the psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Melody is a synonym of happy. Making melody, just joy, singing unto the Lord, singing about the Lord, hallelujah, singing, hallelujah, praise our God. So this is Spirit-filled. Now, if you're not having these symptoms, well, I'll not go there here just yet. Praise God. Giving thanks always for all things unto God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord. So here we have Paul giving us the understanding of what the will of the Lord is. It's being wise, not fools. Redeeming time, in other words, making sure that I'm taking time to be wise. Taking time to be Spirit-filled. Taking time to sing and speak and worship and praise and be thankful to God. Amen. Because Spirit-filled can do nothing but bring joy. I've not yet seen Spirit-filled believers who were not happy they were Spirit-filled. Filled believers. Woo, hallelujah, praise God. Now, I've seen a lot of Christians who ain't got a lot of joy. I have encountered quite a few of them in my lifetime. But the reason they don't have the joy is because they're not really willing to press to be Spirit-filled. They'll take it if it will come easy. But if they have to do something different, out of the ordinary, or change something. Oh. Amen. I like Sister April's testimony earlier, you know, about the things, you know, laying it on the altar and then picking it back up. How many will be honest here tonight and have, I'm not going to say you do it all the time, but have done that, understand what she's talking about. You know, you're being burdened, you got a problem, it's stressing you, and you take it to the altar, and the Spirit of the Lord comes and gives you peace and gives you strength, and you go back, and you're on your way home, all of a sudden you pick it back up. That's the terminology we use, because it's understanding to our minds. It's just, we don't keep being spirit-filled, we become carnal-minded. See? But spirit-filled would keep it on the altar. Spirit-filled would keep on singing. You know, God wants to hear you sing. Hallelujah. When the waves around you are crashing, woo, hallelujah. Now, we're not real good at this. But thank God, He wants us to practice. He wants us to practice. He doesn't condemn us. There is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. Oh no, He doesn't want to condemn us, but He wants us to rise higher in the things that He has provided for His Christians, for His believers, for His followers. And so He's not going to condemn us. He just keeps saying, ooh, there's a higher plane. There's a place to walk. You can be spirit-filled and happy at the same time. Ooh, praise God. Now, I'm going to move into what the Bible says brings happiness. And to those that are not spirit-filled, it doesn't bring happiness. Matthew chapter 5. Has anyone ever read Matthew chapter number 5? The Beatitudes is what scholars call them. The term is blessed or blessed. It means happy. Happy. And Jesus begins to teach in Matthew chapter 5, verse number 2. You can turn there if you haven't already, because we're going to run down through here and give a few definitions to give us a little bit deeper understanding. And He opened His mouth and He taught them, saying, and I'm going to use the word happy if that's okay. It says blessed, but because we know English and we're Oklahomans, we know that means happy. So happy are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I'm going to ask you a question. You don't have to answer it. Please don't raise your hand. Don't stand up and shout at me. Don't be mad either. Are you happy when things don't go your way? But Jesus said, happy are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Poor in spirit means submissive, cooperative, teachable, yielded, leaning not to our own understanding. So, if plans have to change, can you be happy? Can you be submissive? Can you be cooperative? Because those that act this way, number one, are happy, and they have the reward of the kingdom of heaven. And that doesn't mean when I die, I get to go there. That means I have the kingdom of heaven in here. Whew, hallelujah. So happy are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. They have the kingdom of heaven. Praise be to our God. Now are you getting the picture here again tonight? Spirit-filled is the only way this can happen. Spirit-filled is the only way that I can be happy when things ain't going my way. Woo! That's just verse number 3. Verse number 4. Happy are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. This term, happy are they that grieve over sin, or grieve over the lost. And that word comforted means to call near to. When I start praying for the lost, and I start become sorrowful for sins, not my own, but those in my community, those in America, As you begin to read in the Old Testament, you find that a lot of times prophets begin to weep for Israel and begin to pray for Israel. And then God would send them a message because they were in that spirit. And he would draw nigh to them. Have you ever read in the Bible where it says, "Draw nigh unto me, and I will draw nigh unto you"? This is what the word comforted means. So, happiness is found in prayer. Happiness is found in intercession. And when I begin to find that joy there, that is when God comes here. Woo, hallelujah. Spirit-filled and happy. But the only way I'm going to get to this position in prayer is when the Spirit of God leads me there. And I follow. I hope you're starting to already see the importance of the Spirit of God leading my life on an everyday basis so that I can find the joy and the happiness that God intended in my salvation. I'm just going to throw this up here just to put it up right in front of us. God did not save us so that we could be selfish, spoiled children. That is not what he saved us to. But how many of us have found ourselves acting that way? I have. I have found myself acting like a spoiled brat. And I am not happy about that. But then when I allowed the Spirit of God to take me to the place of grieving over my own sin, then that's when the Spirit of God came near. Amen. And came in and filled again. Hallelujah. It's not enough, and I'm going to reiterate this, it's not enough for the Spirit of God to come near. Almost persuadest me, is what Felix said to Paul, if I remember correctly. I know it was Paul, but I can't remember whether it was Felix or Festus. It's terrible when you get older. Almost. Paul said, "Oh, I wish that God would do everything in you that he's done in me. I'm just kind of paraphrasing it, except for these chains I've got. Oh, if you could just experience the spirit-filled, blood-washed, miraculous experience with God like I have. Woo! Because even though I'm in chains, I'm still happy. Woo! I still got joy. I know where I'm going, and I know in whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I have committed unto him." Right there in chains. Praise our God. You see what I'm talking about? The miraculous Christian life is the spirit-filled life that brings joy into my life, and it also brings the transformation to where those things that are actually self-denial are my joy and are my happiness. Hallelujah. Because when Jesus taught this, it really, really made the people want to go away. Yeah. Verse 5 says, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." The word meek means mild, humble, gentle, patient, forgiving. You might have been doing good until you got to the number 5. Forgiving. Can I ask a question? If God forgave you for all the evil that you have done, then why can you not find it in your heart to forgive someone who's done something that was foolish? After God's already forgave you for all the evil you've done. Actually, the Bible says if you won't forgive, God will not forgive you either. So now we're seeing even a greater importance of being spirit-filled. Because it's got to take me to a place where I'll do something that the natural man would never do. Act like Jesus. Imitate Jesus. Follow Jesus. That's what that word, happy are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. This is a future promise. We're going to rule and reign with Jesus Christ. But for this to transpire, and Jesus knew that, as he was teaching these, he knew that no one in that audience was able to fulfill any of this until after he died on the cross of Calvary and ascended back to the Father and sent the Holy Ghost back to the face of this earth to fill the church. Then they would read this and know the joy of the miraculous Christian life. Ooh, praise God, spirit-filled and happy. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Happy. This hunger and this thirst is a spiritual hunger and a spiritual thirst. And the promise is that as you hunger and thirst after righteousness, righteousness, simply put, is doing what's right in whatever situation you may be placed in this day. Doing what's right. Hungering and thirsting after righteous means you're going to do anything and everything to do right. What do you do when you're hungering and thirsting after a hamburger and a Coke? Now, this could be, you know, not a good illustration, but yet I'm trying to illustrate the physical and what we would do, and then see, okay, what do we do in the spiritual realm? I mean, you know, you haven't eaten all day. And I've been there. And all of a sudden, the hunger pain hits, and your throat's a little dry, and the first thought on your mind is, oh, a juicy hamburger. Ooh, and an ice cold Coke. Are you going to just shove that out of your mind and say, no, not today? Now, I realize, yeah, I understand that one. Yeah. I realize not every time are you going to be able to fulfill that. But now let's add to the scenario. You're driving. And you're driving through Claremore. I've added to the scenario now. I'm broke. But I'm digging in the glove box. I'm looking in the cup holders. And I'm looking in the floorboard to see if there's enough anywhere for maybe just a small burger. Now, if I've got the dollars in my pocket, I'm already headed for either Brahms, McDonald's, Carl's Jr. Why? Because I'm hungering and thirsting after a hamburger and a Coke. And I have it in my means to stop and get one. Woo! And I'm feasting on it as I'm driving on home. Because I did whatever I could do to get it. Now, do you ever have that phenomenon happening about righteousness? Hungering and thirsting, wanting so bad to do right instead of wrong. Or always just saying, ah, man, did it again. Well, one of these days I'll get this whooped. One of these days I'll overcome this. Lord, you know I want to be righteous. You know I want to be holy like you. Oh, but not today. I'm just not that hungry. I'm just not that thirsty to do right today. But happy are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. They want to do it today. Amen. Hallelujah. They want to do it today. John 14, 14 says, if ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Talking about the miraculous Christian life here tonight, the spirit-filled life and happy. And Jesus' promise, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now, I understand there are stipulations on that statement. He's not talking about we'll move back to the hamburger and Coke. He's not talking about if you ask me for a hamburger and Coke and you're driving down the road and you're hungry and thirsting after a hamburger and a Coke and you don't have any money, that if you pull into Brahms, he'll give it to you free if you do it in my name. Whether you believe it or not, there are Christians out there that think that's the way it should go. But what he's saying is if you're hungering and thirsting after righteousness and you ask for my power and you ask for my guidance, I'll give it to you. I'll give it to you. I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to forsake you. We just don't ask at the right times. Human beings are bad about that. We are. We are. Isaiah 44 and 3, I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, floods upon dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed and my blessing, my joy, my happiness, upon thy offspring. So God's got an abundant supply. You're not going to run the well dry drinking from the well of salvation. You're not going to run the Spirit of God dry by being continually filled. Hallelujah. No, 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 but you're going to be happy. You're going to be blessed. Verse 7, blessed or blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Mercy, simply put, is helping others. Kindness. Kindness. Proverbs 11:17, the merciful man doth good to his own soul, but he that is cruel troubleth his own flesh. So in other words, mercy given will become mercy received. But we've got to understand the reality of reaping and sowing. If I am unmerciful, then I will receive unmercifulness. So if I want joy, and I want to be spirit-filled, and I want the miraculous Christian life, then I'm going to press myself to allow the Spirit of God to show mercy through me. To show mercy through me. How is someone going to know mercy if I don't show them? Now, you've got to understand and realize mercy is only needed when a wrongdoing has been done. If everything's going great and everything's going fine and everything's just wonderful and roses are coming up everywhere, mercy is not needed. But mercy is only needed in the middle of some offense. Whether I've offended or whether I've been offended. This is where I show mercy. This is where the spirit-filled life flows from me in mercy. And when I allow it to flow, I have joy. I have peace. And I am one happy individual. But the opposite is true also. If I don't allow the Spirit of God to flow the things of God out of me, but what comes out of me is, you know, that proverbial, man, I wish I wouldn't have done that. Then I don't feel good, do I? And I am not happy. And I am one miserable individual because I realize I had an opportunity to do right. and I did wrong. And so then that lets me know from everything I've just learned that I wasn't really hungering and thirsting after righteousness. I was too full of myself. God help me. I mean, whoa. I'm writing my story. My story was written right here in Matthew chapter number 5. I mean, it's the story of humanity and the weakness thereof. I mean, Jesus told his the three disciples, he said, your spirit is willing. In other words, you know what's right. But your flesh is your weakness. You can't seem to get it done. Of course, they had not yet been spirit filled. See, this is the importance of the spirit-filled life. Verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Pure in heart is, simply put, holiness. Just the pure of heart, holiness. I want to be like Jesus. I want to be what God wants me to be. And when I'm pure in heart, then when I kneel to pray, I will see God. I will experience God. God will be there because I'm pure in my heart. Psalms 24, 3 and 4 says, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands, a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. In other words, bad attitude is not the revealing of a pure heart or clean hands. Spirit-filled and happy. I'm going to have to move on here. I think I'm understanding this probably better than I ever have. Verse number 9, happy are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Hebrews 12:14, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. The happiness is found in peacemakers. What is that peacemaker? Well, that means when the situation arises, to lash out in revenge, then we hold our peace and let the Lord fight our battles. And we become a peacemaker. We're not looking for the fight. We're looking for reconciliation. A peacemaker. Wow. Blessed are they, this verse 10, that are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So now we're moving to that realm of people doing things to us that we're not really worthy of, so to speak, or wasn't, we didn't do anything. Why are they doing this to us? Now, the only way we're going to be able to make that statement if we have clean hands and a pure heart. And the only way we're going to have clean hands and pure heart is if we're spirit-filled and happy and being led by the Spirit of God to where we haven't put ourselves in a situation where we're not really being persecuted. As it is, we're getting recompense for what we've already done. You know, a lot of times people think they're under persecution, and they're not. They just went and done something they shouldn't have done, and now somebody's doing it back to them, and here we go. Boom, boom, boom. It's like ping pong. Bum, 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 bum. Who's going to stop? Who's going to be the peacemaker? Who's going to take the persecution? Who's going to be the rug for people to walk on? Oh, that one really ruffles feathers from time to time. But yet, at the same time, Jesus was the rug for all the Jews to walk on. Now, there's a time to speak, and there's a time to be silent. How am I going to know which time to do it? Spirit-filled. And happy. That's the only way I'll know. when the Spirit of God speaks and he begins to show me. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. That means they defame you, they rail you, they chide you, they taunt you, just trying to get a reaction out of you that is not the miraculous Christian life. People do that. People do that. I've had people do that unto me, and they didn't receive the miraculous Christian life. They received a piece of my mind. And then once again, the misery. Oh, the reality of failure. Where am I going to go? Well, I'm going to go to the rock that is greater than I. And I'm going to confess my sin. He's just and faithful to forgive me of my sin and put me back in the warfare of being spirit-filled and happy. See, this is where the war's at, church. The enemy of your soul comes against your life to keep you from being spirit-filled and happy. He comes against my life to keep me from being spirit-filled and happy. And so this is where the war is being waged. This is where Paul said, be wise. Redeem the time. The days are evil. In other words, these things are going to happen. We're going to be stressed. We're going to go through hard times. We're going to be persecuted. Things aren't always going to go our way. Be spirit-filled. And find your joy not in everything around you, but in Him. That miraculous Christian life. Woo! How could Paul do what he did? How could Peter endure what he endured? How could all those disciples that were martyred early on in the early church endure? How could Stephen stand there and keep preaching even though they were stoning him to death? Because he was spirit-filled and happy. And as he was dying, he said, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of the Father. Wow. How could he see that? He was still on this earth because he was spirit-filled. And the Spirit of God began to reveal that to him. And right there in the midst of that false accusations, that persecution, even unto death, his last words, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Do you know what you're doing? So that's the question we need to ask. When people are not doing what they're supposed to be doing, that is the perfect opportunity to ask myself, am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing? How am I responding to this situation? Am I responding spirit-filled and happy? Miraculous Christian life? Or am I going to respond with the way I always used to respond? See, this is why it takes the Spirit of God. You know, a lot of people say, well, what do I need to be filled with Holy Ghost for? If I cannot give you enough reasons here tonight of why we need to be filled with the Holy Ghost, I don't know if you ever will be. Because there's no way I can fulfill what God's Word declares to me I need to be fulfilling without being filled with the Spirit of God. A lot of people ask this question. Well, do I have to be filled with the Spirit of God to go to heaven? That's irrelevant. Because you ain't there yet. And what you need to be filled with the Spirit of God for is so that you can live right now. You're not Spirit-filled so you can go to heaven. You're Spirit-filled so you can bring heaven to earth. Woo! So get your mind turned back around and understand it's not a salvation factor. It is a following factor. It is an obedience factor. And it is a factor that I've got to have if I'm going to be happy. And I'm going to fulfill how Jesus Christ would have me to act in all the circumstances I'm going to face on the face of this earth. Be of good cheer. I have overcome. That's his promise. Why did he say that? He said, because in this world you're going to have tribulation. It's not going to go your way all the time. People are not going to treat you right all the time. People are not going to act the way you think they ought to act all the time. But what are you going to do about it? I'm going to be merciful. I'm going to be a peacemaker. Hello. I'm going to forgive. Hallelujah. Verse 12, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets that were before you. Once again, here's a statement of the Lord Jesus Christ about persecution. And he's saying, rejoice in persecution. Now, tell me, how many people do you know just go around rejoicing in their persecution? Sad to say, I don't always go around rejoicing in my persecution until I'm reminded of this scripture by the Spirit of God. And then I change my mind and I begin to rejoice for this opportunity I have to reveal Jesus Christ in the midst of this storm. Woo! Praise our God. This is what he's after in my life, is that, and it's already been spoken this service tonight, is that I find that place of surrender. That place of giving my all. And this, children of God, is the warfare every one of us face on a daily basis. It does not make any difference who you are, how long you've been saved, how long you've been Spirit-filled. You have a warfare going on against your soul on a daily basis. And this is how you will overcome: Spirit-filled and happy. Hallelujah. Rejoicing. Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Do we quote that scripture right in the middle of our battles? I mean, where do you use that scripture at in your life? Because sometimes I put it on the shelf because I just don't want to talk right now. Whew. You know, I mean, you know, it's easy to tell someone else, well, you can do all things through Christ. Well, that's exactly true to you. But how many times do we hunger in our situation? I can do all things through Christ when I'm feeling like anger would be more fun. Hello. But through the Spirit of God, I can be merciful. Woo. Now, if anybody's ever had to do this, it'd be us school teachers in Calvary Lighthouse or Calvary Light Christian Academy. You know, when that student doesn't bring the homework slip time. For the 15th time. Hello. Woo. You know, mercy's not really right there at that moment. And I realize sometimes there's discipline and we do that, but there's times where we're just merciful. So the reality is, allowing the Spirit of God to give me that discernment, or you that discernment, is it time to speak? Or is it time to be quiet? Is it time for discipline? Is it time for another chance? Because see, that really needs to be the Spirit of God's call. Because if it's, probably won't get it right. But if I'm always running it by my Lord and my Savior in this Spirit-filled life, then I'll adjust. There's a character trait called flexible. I'll adjust so I can do what needs to be done in that moment. Praise our God. I'm going to close as someone's coming back to the piano. Ephesians 5 and 9. For the fruit of the Spirit is all goodness and righteousness and truth. That's what the Spirit is going to bring forth in my life. Goodness, righteousness, and truth. In 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit. That's a word. How many's ever had tall, skinny candles? And when it's time to put them out, you are a brave individual, and you quench it yourself. That's what that word means. You put out the fire. You turn off the hearing. How many times we've talked about selective hearing? Well, when we use selective hearing to the Spirit of God, it's called quenching the Spirit. We know He's talking to us, so we just talking about it last night. We had a Christmas dinner with all my side of the family. And we were talking about hearing someone when they were talking to you. I said, yeah, I can remember, you know, being on the farm and being on the far side of the barn, goofing off when I'm supposed to be working. And then Dad's hollering from the other side of the barn. And you don't say anything. You pretend you didn't hear it. Until you get back around where he's at. Oh, were you hollering at me? Why would you ask that question? Sometimes we're not real smart as kids. Yeah, selective hearing. How many will admit tonight you can operate it real good when you need to? But I don't want to do that to the Spirit of God. Because that's what the Bible refers to, quenching the Spirit. Here you are, under assault of the enemy. And the Bible says when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of God will lift up a standard. But if I won't pay attention to him, it will not do me any good. The enemy will overrun me. Because what that standard is for is so that I will look unto the author and the finisher of my faith. I will look unto the Lord who is my in the time of trouble. Woo! Hallelujah. But if I quench the Spirit of God, there is no help. You see, this is why we must strive as children of the Lord to be Spirit-filled, which brings obedience. For that is the joy of that spiritual man, is obedience unto the Lord. Amen. Stand with me here tonight, if you would. Spirit-filled and happy. God of heaven, Lord, we praise you. God, we cannot praise you and thank you enough, because you have sent your only begotten Son to die for my sins, for the sins of the whole world. And God, I thank you for this, and I praise you for this. But Father in heaven, I pray that you would take the words that we have read from your Bible, and you would help us to realize the necessity of being filled with the Spirit of God, that we might be victorious, miraculous Christian believers, showing forth your marvelous works, showing forth your marvelous light, showing forth your love, your mercy, your kindness, your goodness. Freely we have received, O God. Help us to freely give. Hallelujah. Praise be to your name. Let us come around the altars and let's close.